Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo.
Where we watch tonight, marquee game of the night in the NBA, the Lakers just get boat raced by the Boston Celtics, a game that was close for a while, and then the Lakers just watch the Celtics blow by them for layup after layup after layup. They never got close, never made a run in LeBron's return. 130 to 108
yep.
is the final score. And while Anthony Davis had a big night for the Lakers, he had 31. LeBron clearly, 23-6 in his first game back in 32 minutes. Not bad. Nothing else from really any of the Lakers. And the Celtics had star maker games from Marcus Smart, Dennis Schroeder. This was a blowout that really set the Lakers back. This is a big step back for them because it illustrated just how bad they are defensively. Like, you knew they weren't good, but boy, if this is how an okay Celtics team can just blow by them, I was thinking good things at 8-8. LeBron's on the way back, and it's just going to be more of a slog fest for the Lakers now. If the Lakers are 15-15 after 30 games, I'm not going to be surprised if they're still struggling to kind of find their way in another 10 or 12 games from now.
Yeah, I think when we go down through it, Jason, I mean, now it becomes you start the clock today, I guess, of the experiment. Is that what we can call it? We'll do our own little package every game when they play together on the court. And that means all three, Davis, Westbrook, and James. Because I wanted to ask you a question we got it from Frostburg, and it's certainly shown up in my timeline probably, I don't know, 1,000 times at this point. People were going, hey, did you see this? I posted it 5 minutes ago. In case you missed it, I'm posting it again. Here's LeBron smiling on the bench while they're down 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't look like he cares. Hot take. It's like, game's over. It's one of 82. And I think when you go past the 30-minute mark in your return, from a core injury, you're probably feeling okay if you're not writhing in pain on the bench going, this was a bad idea. I think you smile and say, all right, that's a first step back, even if we're not ready. Now, the long term is the question that you offered of what this defense becomes, and you still have other parts coming back from injury. Talen Horton Tucker had a terrible shooting night tonight. He'd been, the answer to everybody's prayers for a couple of games as he came back from injury, and now his role will get redefined. But certainly as you push forward, everybody's going to play amateur GM. Now we're going to go into all the trade simulators. Yeah, we're doing it for baseball as you wonder whether the clock strikes midnight and we get a long extended lockout. But certainly for the NBA, it becomes, all right, now what can we do to improve this squad? And that's going to be the fun and excitement for the holiday season for LA Scribes.
Yeah, because the narrative is now flipped. From, okay, let's get this going. And yes, you do have to understand and give a little bit of slack that LeBron was out and he's getting back in the lineup now. But it still doesn't matter. There's still a team that blew leads they shouldn't have blown. And
sure.
they're defensively, they're not in games like this tonight. And there's a lot of issues. So now the narrative around the Lakers has gone from, boy, when are they going to do it, to how long do they stick with this? How long do they stick with this version of the Lakers until they decide, you know what, LeBron James clearly doesn't have as much time left as we expected, because here he is breaking down injury-wise. He's already been hurt twice this year. He's been hurt every year with the Lakers. He's not as healthy as he was. The wear and tear is getting to him. He doesn't have that much time left. Do we let this go? Can we let this go all the way through the regular season? Is this something that we really think is going to turn when we get to game 40, game 50? Or is it, you know what? We're just losing to all the younger athletic teams. We can't play the defense we need to, and we need to go make a move. We need to reinvent this roster by the deadline. Because we've seen it before. We've seen teams around LeBron, hey, we're going to make like a whole bunch of moves, and hey, this move was designed to make us better, and hey, the teams go on a run. Like, we've seen this before. But that's now the narrative of the Lakers, is how long do you give this until it's time to throw the hammer down and say, we can't keep going like this. We have to go make a move. And it's big trades and it's big moves. And maybe it's Westbrook. Maybe it's somebody else. But how long until you have to you do that break glass in case of emergency and change what they're doing and have wholesale changes? That's now the narrative around the Lakers.
Mm. Yeah, I'm curious to see what the flow is, right? Because we look at the West and we've talked a lot about the Warriors. A team playing as well as they are tonight, you know, sit a number of the starters. So some of those narratives begin of going, really? We're not even into December. We're already getting the rest games and that anger. And then Jordan Poole has a big game and they win on the road at Detroit to extend what's been a fantastic start to the season. But even if you anticipated they were going to be better, and I certainly, when we did some of our preseason content going into camps, it's like, I liked them at the end of last year, thought, you know, that not to necessarily start hammering nails into the coffin because they're not done yet. And did I think they'd be where they're at? Hell no. I just thought they'd be good. And then Clay would come in and now you add an extra element and you're that much more dangerous. Instead, well, it's clicking now. And now it's a matter of sustaining it. Because again, long road, lots of, you know, bumps, bruises and wear and tear, because we forget, you know, even though he's babyface, Steph Curry's been in the league over a decade, right? Klay Thompson, we don't know what he's going to be. It's all pie in the sky because, you know, he's missed two years here. But we look throughout the Western Conference, and it's like going through, say, the AFC and the NFL, is there's warts, there's problems. And it's the, all right, who can get it together and find a groove when it matters? Not through the 82, right? You'd like to see some leveling off and not some of these catastrophic lows mixed in where you're going, I don't even think they wanted to play basketball tonight. What happened? Is there fighting? Did they just decide this was a tank game? I mean, what are we doing? And I say that, you know, with tongue in cheek, because with all the gambling talk and whatever anymore, you can't even joke about that stuff. It's now that much more on the radar of people than it was. And it was already a big deal. But I think for the Lakers, I don't think you get that much further into this season before the calls for a trade are really loud and before Frank Vogel looks around going, I don't have enough guys that want to play defense or can at this point, right? Because LeBron could still play great defense for a couple of minutes, or at least he could last year, but he couldn't do it over 48 minutes in a game. And Anthony Davis spends too much time as a big man on the floor, literally on the floor, as we joked with Bill Plaschke when he joined us in the middle of the week, that he's probably going to miss some games over time. So you're trying to make sure you're measuring and finding the backup solutions as you flow for the inevitability that you're going to be without his services at some point. And that's not wishing people any ill will, folks. It's just looking at game logs and the injury histories of players that we're talking about, right? It's one of the dangers when you construct the core of your roster to the age and minutes that they've played, right? Because always you got to remember with LeBron, you add like another three seasons when you start adding his playoff runs in terms of wear on his body. So the inevitability was once the first injury started, perhaps they'd start coming a bit more frequently. And during his tenure with the Lakers, you got a title, but you've also got a lot of frustration and consternation of what could have been had he been healthy. And the last thing they want to do is start racing towards April again with that lingering, you know, like the what is it, the telltale heart, right? It's just beating.
Yes, yes.
Waiting for doom around the corner and wondering what it's going to be.
Tick 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 tick. Twitter and about a Fresca, Mike, it's Swollen Dome. LeBron, the sand is going through the hourglass. How long will they go until they decide I got to hit that button and make that happen. So we'll have more on the NBA coming up again. Big night for the Warriors tonight. They win without Steph, without Draymond Green, without Andre Iguodala. I don't think Steve Kerr even coached. I think they went coachless tonight. But the big game in the NFL coming up on Sunday, there is clearly one game that overwhelms everything because of the star power of the teams involved and what kind of aerial show we can expect. Jets-Dolphins is not – see what I did there? Jets-Dolphins.
44.5 your total there. The other game, a robust 56.
Jets-Dolphins. There's no way 44 points are getting scored in Jets-Dolphins.
Hey, Tua might light up your team.
Oh, yeah. This will be the week, right? Hey, Tua might be great. Although it could also be the converse part is, hey, if Tua doesn't have a big game against the Jets, we definitely got to go get a new quarterback.
Well, hey, here's the thing, though. The Jets' pass defense looks pretty good because their run defense is so terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Well,
Miles Gaskin, let's go, people.
Oh, my God. Miles Gaskin, right?
But, yeah, it's Tua versus Flacco. Yay.
Yeah, Miles Gaskin is averaging like 1.3 yards per carry on Sunday. It's a 100-yard day for Miles Gaskin. He's carried the ball 87 times for that 100 yards. Congratulations.
Can
Miles
the the Dolphins defense score like the Patriots did in fantasy for week 11?
The Cowboys and the Chiefs is the marquee game of the week in the National Football League. And I know there's the opinion that is shared by a lot of people in the media that now the Chiefs have turned the corner, right? They get a big win over the Raiders, and this is the Chiefs team we thought we'd see, and here's Patrick Mahomes playing well. Mahomes has played well all season. He's just turned the ball over a little bit more than he normally does. It happens. This Dallas team is different. Dallas is better than the Chiefs up and down the roster. Dallas is going to run away with this game in the second half because their offense is just that good. Even though they're going to play without Amari Cooper because he's not vaccinated and he is in violation of the COVID protocol for the NFL. So now he's going to miss Sundays, probably going to miss Thanksgiving as well. It's really not going to matter. This is why you saw Michael Gallup trending so much. Say, oh, Michael Gallup is trending. He's on my bench in fantasy. What do I do? Dallas's offense
is so good. Get him in your lineup.
it's so good. And they're going to be so up for this game. It's going to be the exact opposite of the Denver Broncos game where they just thought, we're going to show back up and put points on the board. Their defense is going to be patient. They'll get a couple of big turnovers from Mahomes. Casey's defense is improved, but it's not in the class to stop the Cowboys. I will be really surprised if the Cowboys don't throw the hammer down and slowly pull away from the Chiefs. And they win this game something like 38-28, something like that, where, hey, Mahomes will get a couple of touchdowns late, but this is going to be a big day for Dak. They're going to run the football well. They will throw the football well. This will be a day everybody on Dallas has big days offensively.
Kansas City coming into the game, giving about 24 points per game. When you look at your Dallas Cowboys, 21.7. Micah Parsons obviously having a huge year. Trayvon Diggs, depending on who you talk to, he's either the greatest cornerback in the world or he's the most hyped and overblown based on some of the completions on balls thrown his way. You know, some of them are going to get through, guys. Just got to let you know that. But the fact of the matter is you've got Dan Quinn, who's got that unit playing pretty well. For Mahomes, my big thing in all of this was just however you can figure out a way to eliminate them from the dance, you eliminate them from the dance. Because once they're in there, they're taking over. This is Michael Rapaport in the movie Beautiful Girls going, I'm the DJ. I'm the DJ. And Rosie O'Donnell yells, no, Jethro Tull. That's what you don't want. You don't want Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid crashing your party because they're taking it over, potentially, because of where the AFC is right now. You don't have that dominant team. And that's why the hyperbole coming off of the New England beatdown of Atlanta became such a big deal over the last 24 hours. So high-scoring affair, the over-under sitting at 56. Chiefs, a 2.5-point favorite. I'm going to take the home team.
Oh, look at you.
Frustrate Dak.
Oh, we're on opposite sides. That's my NFL upset special of the week.
Look at that.
I will take the Cowboys getting those points. 20-12 now, is 2-2 last week. Had a real heartbreaker, except not at all. My teams got blown out. But still, 2-2 is still 2-2. 20-12 on the season. Mike and I will give you our upset special picks in college football coming up later on this hour. But boy, Cowboys and Chiefs, a lot of points. Watch the Cowboys just light up that scoreboard. We're wearing cowboy hats. Everybody's going to be so excited after this game. And then it's going to be, oh, what happened to the Chiefs? Oh, the Chiefs are still the same. Still the same.
Sing it like Seeger.
Still the same. Wasn't that Orleans? Oh, that's still the one was Orleans, right? Still the one that could scratch my itch, right? That was Orleans, right?
We're still having fun.
And was still the one. It was Orleans, I'm pretty sure. Not New Orleans,
yes,
just
it
Orleans.
Is. And you
just
have Orleans. You're Still the One by Shania Twain. So there.
You're still the one I want. Yeah, that's right. Okay, still the one. You're still the one. Right. Dealing with a dead battery, head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. I just wanted to see how many times I could say Orleans. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. They got reliable replacement battery starting at just $79.99, and they're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. Well, coming up next, we got more big news out of the NFL. We'll preview more of the big games with a very special guest who I'm sure will mention Cowboy Bees. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo.
Live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Cowboys, Chiefs, Cam Newton, and more joining us now on the hotline. He is a longtime Pro Football Insider. He is the editor-in-chief at fansided.com. As his Twitter bio will tell you, he is a selector for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There's an asterisk on that because it could be taken away at any time. He is author of the brand new book, Joe Flacco, A Relentless Life to Start for the New York Jets. It is Jason Cole. J. Cole, what's happening?
Joe Flacco, isn't that just a dream come true, really, isn't it? It really is, if you're a Jets fan. Like, it just adds another chapter to the book of Jets quarterbacks since Joe Willie.
It's just
everything
the book of
Jets. That you've had.
There's nothing the Jets can do now, Jason Cole, where I would go, wow, I can't believe that happened. No, every time.
Joe Flacco really is. It's taking it to a whole new level of retreadedness.
Well, because not like, only did, was he a retread the first time he was on your team.
Yes, now he's a retread
right.
again.
He is. It's like you took a bad tire already, retreaded one, and then we're just doing it again, just to see how long we can last with this.
So is Robert Saleh going to be one and done, Jason?
Do you have an over under on the total that you lose by?
The over under, yeah, we're probably only, well, the Dolphins stink, so we're probably only going to lose by 10, but the final score is going to be 11-2. So that's what's going to happen to us.
The Dolphins, like, you get a two-pointer field goal, and then the Dolphins go for the touchdown and the two-pointer just to seal it away.
How much of the Dolphins, they're so licking their chops, they go, hey, last time this guy played quarterback against us, we sacked him for a 30-yard loss on one play. I can't wait to see what we're going to do on Sunday. Oh, my goodness.
Will you lose by 30 or less? That's the question.
Oh, we'll lose by less. Come on. You really think Tua's going to be the headline's going to be Tua's four touchdowns leads Dolphin? No, come on.
Have you you've watched your team the last two games when they've given up like 10 billion points, right? Like,
yeah.
They find new ways to get scored upon. Okay?
No, the headline's really going to be the headline's going to be Myles Gaskin sets all-time record for rushing yards in a game. Like, that's the headline.
442 yards.
And this week, the anniversary of Peyton going nuts. No, but in all seriousness, J. Cole, is Robert Saleh going to get fired at the end of the year?
No, they're not going to do it. I mean, it's bad, and but I don't know. What do you do with that team? Like, they got nothing. They had nothing going into the season. I mean, they're playing poorly, but I don't know. I just think you walk in, you do the Tony Dungy thing, and where you walk in, and Tony Dungy tells this great story about his first year in Tampa. He walks in, they lose a bunch of games. It's really bad. And he walks in and he apologizes to his team, right? He goes, guys, I'm really, really sorry. We don't have a lot of guys who are buying into what we're trying to do. But I promise we'll have those guys next year. and then everybody goes, what did he just say?
What's he know that we don't?
What was that? Like, that, to me, that would be the killer move for Robert Saleh. I just, you know, I give guys a break for the first year. And as a matter of fact, like, you go back to the Eric Mangini year where, oh, they came out gangbusters and made the playoffs and, you know, all these great things that they did in the first year. Everybody thought it was magical. Like, was that really any – was that good? No. That wasn't good either. So I think you hang with Saleh for – you know, at least another year to see if he can get this thing turned around, see if the quarterback's any good. You know, you made an investment in the quarterback and in the coach. Ride it out for a little longer. So,
stop. It was magical. That whole year was magical. Are you kidding? I didn't have a lot of magic. It was magical.
It was mangenial or whatever, or maniacal or whatever. By the way, I was thinking of this. We were, you know, after we got done talking last week, and we said, you know, Dave Brown, Giants quarterback, right? Like, uh-huh. Terrible Daves, right? And then I was thinking, if you took Dan Brown, who's not really a whole lot different than Daniel Jones or than David Jones or Dave Jones, whatever, or Daniel Jones and Dave Brown, right? And okay. You mash it up, you get Dan Brown and Davey Jones. And then you get, right?
Okay.
You get a whole thing about the monkeys doing the Da Vinci Code.
Ah.
And that to me that's what we really need to do. And see, that would save the Giants season. You could turn it into a musical with the monkeys singing the Da Vinci Code.
And wouldn't they be singing down
at Bill Nighy while you're at it?
They'd be singing down in Davy Jones's locker. I mean, so they would that you have that part
that,
as well.
You could throw that in. It's a pre-show kind of show.
Right now, people
that's
listening
the
going
off Broadway version. Okay,
people are listening going, this guy really is a Hall of Fame voter. I got to look this up. I got to find what's he on Twitter. You, okay. Jason Cole,
and you know what? I survived. Dave Baker's not the president anymore. He doesn't listen anymore. He doesn't call me afterwards and go, stop it. Stop it!
Jason Cole with us here at the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. All right, so look, we got the big news today. Cam Newton, it's not unexpected, is going to start for the Carolina Panthers. Look, they changed the energy around the team. I mean, and this is going to be you just jumping up and down on Sam Darnold, but that's okay. I'm here for that. If Cam Newton just doesn't throw
three... You're a Jet all the way. Even when you get to the Panthers that way.
But see, I sang that the other day for Rex Ryan. That's still the Jets coach.
Rex still thinks he's the Jets coach. He still does. He still thinks
absolutely. No, he thinks he owns the Jets. He doesn't think that he coaches the Jets. He thinks he owns the Jets, okay? And for all intents and purposes, he's better than Woody Johnson. So, yes, okay? Like, think about it that way. All right, we got Cam Newton in Carolina. Okay, we've seen this show. And, like, okay, is Cam Newton any better than he was the last time we saw him play quarterback? I mean, you know, whatever. It's a nice Band-Aid. It's kind of a cute little story that he goes home, right? But Yeah, well, I mean, they still need a quarterback. I mean, this isn't a solution or anything.
Yeah, but if he doesn't throw three picks a week and can run the ball okay, Carolina's got some talent. They can have a fun last half of the season.
Yeah, they can. Sure, they could be fun. Let's be fun. That's what we'll want to do.
I don't mean like there's going to be parties
choice,
all the time.
As soon as you made that word choice, you made a mistake.
Look, I understand that the hurdle that you're trying to get over, okay, is anything better than the Jets, okay? That's what you're just looking. I'm a Jets fan. I just want fun. I want something that I can enjoy, okay? Because I want to just enjoy the show. That's the definition of Jets, right? We talked about this last week. Just enjoy the show. And right now you can't. So you want to see something that you can just enjoy. You don't need victory. You don't need, you know, being pumped up or anything. You just want to watch it and say, yeah, that was kind of fun, right? And I get that. So, yeah, Carolina's got that chance. Does it actually mean anything, like, in terms of, like, winning? No, but it's just kind of fun. I get it. That's where you're headed to.
Darnold,
hey,
who's ever had good parties?
AFC.
Cam has all the good parties.
Cam has all the cool touchdowns. He's awesome.
Sam never invited anybody over for. I want to have fun.
See, I want to have. You know what? I want Darnold back because I want the Sam and Cam show.
Okay. All right.
Not Sam and Cam. Cat.
Sam.
No. Sam.
Sam and Cam.
You could get him back.
They should alternate quarterbacks. They should go back to like. The days of Craig Morton and Roger Staubach in Dallas and just have them play every series. Sam and Cam, they should do that. That would be really fun. That defines fun to me, okay? The Sam and Cam show.
And that would certainly get Steve Spurrier back in the NFL. Oh, we can alternate quarterbacks. I tried that. Didn't work. No, nobody liked it.
I did. Oh, yeah. I was great at that. If they just stuck with me a little bit, I wouldn't be great with that. I'm the old ball coach. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I was just learning all the great
really
golf courses
bad,
in
it's
Washington.
It's like a really bad Spurrier mixed with a bad Jerry Jones. It's just all bad.
No, come on. My Spurrier is pretty good. My Spurrier, because I say the exact same things that he would say.
Yep. That's all you got to do to be Spurrier.
Yep,
okay.
And then
show up like drunk for a UF game. And you're good.
Allegedly.
Did I just say that?
Allegedly. Look at you. Really. Who's taking over for Dave Baker now? Drew Pearson, he's going to call and throw you out of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, man.
Jim Porter is the name of the guy. They did a 45-minute interview with him where people were asking all these questions during a video call. I missed the call. And I'm glad because that's 45 minutes of my life I could never get back. But he seems like a nice guy. He was talking, his opening statement is, we want to work together and do this together. And then announced, oh, by the way, we're doing this on Tuesdays from now on. Just telling you that because they're doing the show on a Thursday night now since they've moved the honor show from Saturday night because they want to get ratings on that. So we'll be doing that on Tuesday, and it'd be like 2 weeks beforehand. So we're not going to know the results for like 2-3 weeks. It'll be cool.
No, because you're going to go do all your informal polling, and you'll have it super sleuthed out.
Well, I'll know my results, but and I know who should be in the Hall of Fame and who should not. Most importantly, and most importantly, who should get kicked out.
Hey, Gil Brandt, like, who is this guy that wants to get all the Cowboys kicked out? Do I need to give him a phone call?
Gil's lucky I'm not going after him. Let's just put it that way.
Get Gil right? Brandt, the architect. Yeah, get him out. He's on Twitter.
He put a Twitter rant with somebody the other day that blocked him.
Oh, man. Really? Gil Brandt?
You're a big Gil Brandt fan. I mean, we know this now. We've established this. Right?
Gil Brandt hates me. Although he follows me on Twitter, and I follow him as a result. Maybe he doesn't remember that he hates me. That could be what happened. Maybe he's got a lot of beefs.
Gil knows everybody that he hates. Okay, trust me.
He's got a list.
He knows. Let's just say this. Gil remembers just about everything, number one, but he especially remembers people he hates. And Gil, I know the people he doesn't like because he has this look on his face. It's like a grimace. It's a real bad look. And so I'm bringing up your name the next time. I just get that Gil brain. Oh, that guy? He didn't have
it. Oh, yeah. He got blocked by Florio and his folks.
Oh, wow. There you go. And TJ, there will be no pro football talk for Gil Brandt anymore.
We got Chiefs Cowboys this week. We didn't do anything. We did Da Vinci Code. That's what we are.
Because I told you it was going to happen. I'm taking the Cowboys. They're going to blow the doors off the Chiefs. They're going to kill the Chiefs on Sunday.
No. They're the Cowboys. Cowboys don't know how to like win two games in a row that actually mean anything. That's not happening.
You're just anti-Cowboys. You want them all out of the
Pretty
Hall
much.
Of Fame.
Look, I remember the 70s and Preston Pearson with that stupid pass, the little shuffle pass, and Roger Staubach complaining. I mean, like, I'm still living that nightmare, okay? When I was still a fan of a team. I remember that stuff.
He's on Twitter at JasonCole62. That is at JasonCole62. His preview of the Chiefs and Cowboys can be summed up as, will the Cowboys win? No. No. There you go. That's the preview. That is the type of analysis.
Now he's going to go back.
That you get here that you don't get anywhere else.
Yeah, he's going to go back to his Drew Pearson shrine.
You've got Dave Brown and Daniel Jones. That's what you got on the show. All right. Later.
All right. Bye. Say hi to Jim Porter for us. All right. Very good. There goes Jason Cole. Oh, you never know where it's going to go.
No.
But I kind of like the whole Dave Brown, Davy Jones locker. I'm a believer. I kind of like that. You can tell he's waiting. He waited all week to bring that up to us. Like, oh, I thought of it.
Right.
I got to remember that for next week. And he did.
I bet you he had that on a whiteboard. And he was workshopping it. And he's got a little sketch of Bill Nighy from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Oh, time to drink some velvet here. Happy Friday night.
Whatever tequila.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon.
I'm going to eat that ass up.
We're into the weekend. It's that time of night. Holiday coming up. Feeling frisky. What are you going to do?
Tyshirt, how many times in your life were things going well when you thought you were going to date somebody and then you just said a crazy thing out of the blue and that was it?
Well, I've said crazy things plenty of times and it always works out, Jay.
Boom.
How about we go back to my place? For quinoa. Oh, my God, you like quinoa. Yes.
And then you follow it up with the Tomlin line.
And you ask them if they like dragons.
Like dragons?
I'm not going to play the joke on air, Jay.
No, I'm just, it's an anime joke that that's what I said. It's an anime joke.
All right.
I said that.
I thought you were just quoting the great Ralph Fiennes, I Am the Dragon, from Red Dragon, part of the Hannibal Lecter series. One of the more ridiculous scenes in recent memory, and that was long before some of the inane bits with him as Voldemort.
Do you really think Tyshirt knows who he is, who Hannibal Lecter is?
Absolutely.
No, who's Hannibal Lecter?
He was the guy that started a pastrami company, right?
Yes, that's right. Hannibal's Lecterous Pastrami. Yes.
Well, I heard it was like the offshoot of Jersey Mike's.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yes. Get a number two. It was the offshoot there, yes.
I'll tell you what, his supply chain problems, though, kind of slow. I mean, there's a lot that goes in to the processing.
Well, and there was, Hannibal Lecter did specialize in food.
Wasn't he dating a chick named Candace?
No.
No? Oh, my bad.
It's all right. You're close. You're close, though.
They did get married, though. Phineas and Ferb.
It's been 104 days of summer vacation.
They don't get 104 days anymore. They barely get 60. But
no, I know, right? I feel like, oh, how do you feel? Well, the summer's halfway over. Wait, the last day of school was Monday. Yeah, I know. We're going back on Monday. Cam Newton is now officially the starting quarterback once again for the Carolina Panthers, a move that everybody thought was going to happen. Mm-hmm. He came in relief last week, and he put two touchdowns on the board, and now he officially gets the start against the Washington football team on Sunday. This goes to show you that sometimes just changing the energy for change's sake is worth doing anything else, right? Because the Panthers, this was a move of desperation. What are we going to do? Sam Darnold is terrible, right? We don't like P.J. Walker. What are we going to do? Hey, let's bring back Cam Newton. Wait, that sounds crazy. Wait a minute. He didn't really leave with that bad, under that bad terms. We have a great defense. Our defensive line is fantastic. That causes a lot of havoc. Christian McCaffrey's in the lineup. Let's face it, we're going to give him the football 89 times during the game. We have a couple of good receivers that we can throw the football to. All right, we can rediscover DJ Moore. Said, hey, come on, man. No one start me in fantasy anymore. Oh. Robbie Anderson's going, oh, no one start you. No one start me.
He's holding up a sign like John Cusack held up that boombox and said anything. He's like, remember me?
I'm here. Man,
he's holding up copies of Keyshawn Johnson's book. Throw me the damn ball.
Would this work? And it has worked because when you change the energy, so you just get caught up in it, right? It's exciting that Cam Newton is back. It's all kinds of exciting for the fans. They're all busting out his jersey again. They can wear it all over Carolina. The team is excited because they have a guy coming in who was a legend that maybe he can play good again. The buzz around the team, that energy level is great. They love the fact that it's not Sam Darnold who is going to be throwing passes on Sunday. And how bad do you feel if you're Sam Darnold? Hey, you were the guy and they loved you through 3 weeks. I told you Sam Darnold was going to turn back into Sam Darnold. And now it's, hey, you're kind of out for the year. It's like we don't even talk about him anymore. It's like not, I don't even know if he's around the team anymore. He's just out. He's not there. It's Cam Newton's gig. Everybody's excited about it. Now he gets to play his first game at home for his re-debut. It will be insane. Desperation works sometimes, but sometimes you just have to make that change. Like firing up a manager in baseball. It's not like we think the manager coming in is going to be great, because that's the one sport where you say, well, you're firing a guy. You got to bring somebody in who knows. Like, no one gets fired in the NFL unless they know, hey, we know we're going to hire so-and-so who's going to do a better job for us. No, baseball, it's like, it's just time for you to go. And the new energy comes in, and players feel like they're put on notice, and that's how it works. It doesn't really work like that in football, except for this. Time we had to need a quarterback. Let's bring back a guy who was a legend. And the best part is he doesn't really have to do a lot. They're not going to get Cam Newton from 5-6 years ago. You're going to get the Cam Newton from last year with the New England Patriots. That's a quarterback that can still run the ball. You know, they're still going to run those plays for him. He will throw the football just well enough, right? The days of Cam going 275 and 80 on the ground and two touchdowns running and two touchdowns throw, those days are gone. But you don't have to have that. You just have to have Cam Newton be who he is right now. Run the ball well when they call the plays that way. Throw the football barely well enough and just don't turn it over. Because that's what killed Sam Darnold, was those really bad turnovers where it's, where are you throwing the football? Don't you see? You don't see this DB? You know, I don't know that Sam Darnold looks down the field and knows what he sees. And knows when he sees a guy open and goes through his progressions enough where he can find the mismatch and find where the guy is. Because players are open. Receivers, they were open with the Jets. They were open with the Panthers. And you couldn't find it. Now, Cam Newton is not as gifted a passer anymore, but it doesn't matter. Just don't throw three picks, because Carolina can win games 17-13, right? You're going to rely on McCaffrey. You're going to rely on guys with yak to be able to make those plays. Cam Newton doesn't have to throw the football 50 yards downfield. Give me a 7-yard slant that turns into a 13-yard completion. That's all they're going to ask Cam Newton to do. And you know what? With this team, Cam Newton can do that, and you can have a pretty good last half of the season, and you can squeak into the playoffs. Save your quarterback issue for another day. We'll figure out the future in the future. You're in the middle of this season. Everybody is still in it in the NFC. And like, it's very top-heavy. You've got a couple of teams at the top that are really good. There's everybody else. You are right there. You gave away a 3-0 start, but that's okay. You figured out your quarterback job now. They're going to go out on Sunday and just blow the doors off of Washington, who is coming off a big win, and and it's going to be the Cam Newton is home, and look how great things can be. There will be bad weeks, and there will be weeks where he doesn't throw the football well. That's Cam Newton now, who is near the end of his career, but it doesn't matter. He just has to do enough, and with this team, he can do just enough.
As long as 22 is healthy, everything flows. Right, unfortunately for Sam Darnold, that was the case too. But since there were so many misgivings and fears about him, as soon as it went south, you know, as soon as it went south, you cut these guys loose. From Matt Rhule, there you go. Obligatory film reference every 5 minutes. The bell rang. But you look at the squad, expectations were higher. We've heard a lot of references to the owner, Tepper, and how he does business. And look, no, none of these guys sit on their hands, right? They're active in whatever their businesses are, for those that have them, and that the football team isn't the family business. But you look at a guy who's constructed a roster, paid McCaffrey a lot of money, and when he's on the field, you've got to maximize it, right? 25 touches has got to be what your goal is for him. However many receptions, great. But certainly making the most out of the electric nature that he brings. And with Cam Newton, as soon as they signed that contract and the terms got out, it's like, all right, when's he starting? Right? It was just a matter of time whether Sam Darnold was going to be able to come back at some point this year or not. It was like, all right, now Cam comes in. You get the goodwill of the fans because they're excited to have him back. And he doesn't have to be the MVP Cam of years ago. He can be the guy that he was in New England last year. Wasn't world-beating. They didn't have a lot of weapons. We've talked about the defense and analyzing what's going on there with Mac Jones and company now. But for Cam Newton, here you've got a playmaker. And behind McCaffrey, you got a pretty good playmaker in Chuba Hubbard, who acquitted himself pretty nicely. DJ Moore, as you said, has been invisible. Maybe you can get him back in because, look, it can't be any worse at this point in terms of targets and distribution, that maybe you catch a little lightning in a bottle, and if you get into the tournament, anything can happen, right? If we've ever believed that any given Sunday speech, which normally we just kind of cast aside by going, look at the favorites and how they dominate, 2021 season is telling you on a week-to-week basis, you don't know anything. As much as you try to analyze the numbers and trends and where teams are, most games aren't going anywhere near the scripts that we play out. The team may win, but it's a totally back path to get there. Cam Newton now has an opportunity to write the second chapter of his book while doing that between two ferns thing, while wearing cool hats, scarves, and the rest of it. Because, I mean, come on. He's the epitome of cool.
He is. I mean, that's what I'm looking forward to the most, especially after home games, is the swag game for him, the hat game, the capris game, the sunglasses game, the shirt game, the jacket game, the pants. No, his fashion game, he knows now, hey, I'm nearing the end. I don't know how many more times I got a chance to talk to everybody in a post-game press conference, so I got to really go, I got to step up that fashion. I can't just show up with a hat I've already worn once. No, no, no. Just like a Hollywood starlet, I wear this once and then I throw it away. I can't be seen wearing it twice. No, he's going to completely. I can't wait to see what he's got on Sunday.
No, if I could just circle back in, you know, you just mentioned you don't know how many runs you have. And for Cam Newton, he came in 2011, right? It's like last night as people were watching Matt Ryan and where Matt Ryan is and getting bludgeoned and the interceptions, I kept hearing erroneous reports. Matt Ryan threw 4 picks last night. No, he was out of the game watching the backups come in and keep that conga line going. He wasn't. He's not a starting pitcher who left runners on base. He doesn't get tagged with those next two interceptions. That's part one. The other is, I think, we're getting to the point, at least with Ryan himself, that there's the recognition of, you know, when he came in 2008. Right, Joe Flacco for the Jets, 2008. And you can start going through some of these quarterbacks that we normally don't age. Right, it's always been 44-year-old Tom Brady. Hell, my kids know that. That's how often Brady's referred, even, you know, when he's referenced in a TikTok video that shows up on their timelines, which I laugh and I go, ha ha, football guy shows in. Because Madeline had, was forced to play in a flag football thing as part of a PE unit.
Okay.
And then they had an all-star team, and they had tryout, you know, sign-ups or whatever. She wanted no part of it, but had to. So I think just talking about football, the walls have ears. So all of a sudden, football stuff's being suggested by her devices. Like,
football.
Exactly. Football. But it's just the recognition. For a lot of these guys, we're in that final stretch for many of them, right, where the cliff is nigh, and the Panthers decided to roll back the clock and take one chance at it here, knowing that there is a lot of parity, mediocrity, whatever term you want to use, for those teams vying for those wild card spots in the NFC.
So from Major League Baseball today, this story is just fantastic. Carlos Correa does a podcast this week with Carlos Baerga, former MLB infielder.
Hey, and, member of the Guardians.
Yes, we'll have more on the Guardians coming up in a bit because I think we have an idea for a movie after what happened to them today. So he does a podcast earlier this week saying that Derek Jeter should have never won any of the Gold Gloves that he did during his baseball career. Now, Jeter won a couple, but Carlos Correa, who is now a free agent, hey, could be coming to a lot of different teams, says Jeter shouldn't have won any of them. When Derek Jeter was asked about that, here's what Derek Jeter had to say.
A couple of weeks ago, Carlos Correa of the Astros had mentioned that you weren't deserving of your Gold Glove.
Yeah.
I was wondering what you thought about that. And you know,
I didn't think much about it. I don't know how my name came up. So my Spanish is not that good. I still haven't seen it. I don't know how my name was brought up, but it doesn't even warrant a response. I mean, I can go in a lot of different directions, but I won't.
There you go. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but if this guy thinks he's walking into the Yankee Stadium, I'm going to make a phone call from all the way in Florida, and we're going to go get somebody else. Good luck, Carlos Correa.
Blank you. Blank you. Do you think Derek Jeter can block him becoming a Yankee?
Oh, sure he can.
Can he still call him a favorite?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Do you want me around the team?
Because, I mean, Big Stein's not there anymore.
Yeah, but
so
it's like, do you want me around the team for the next 30 years or not? Like, what do you want? Do you want me to still trade you guys like Stanton so I can help keep you guys afloat or not? So you pick if you want to be loyal to Carlos Correa or if you want to be loyal to me.
It's like, I'll show up on Old Timers Day. I'll show up to shake hands and kiss babies as we celebrate all these historical moments of my illustrious Hall of Fame career. That's how I would have answered. Also, just saying, hey, he's got a nice thing going. But, you know, when I got to Cooperstown this year, let me tell you, it was a lot of fun.
You know what the best part of the story is going to be is how many people hate Carlos Correa because of the cheating scandal, right? Can't stand him. Oh, I can't stand Correa. Can't stand Altuve. Can't stand Bregman. You know, all the guys, the four main guys who were there. Can't stand him. Can't stand him. Hey, your team has a meeting with Carlos Correa. Oh, boy, I'd love to sign him. Oh, boy, he would be great. I'd love to get him. And hey, he would really be a great addition to our team. Boy, we'd have a franchise player. I'd love to get Carlos Correa. That's how quick it's going to turn for everything. Can't stand Carlos. I don't want him. Oh, but he could sign with your team. Oh, well, that changes everything. I like Carlos Correa now.
Well, but that's just it. He's now your villain, right? In Chicago, you got two great examples. You had Dennis Rodman show up. You hated him when he was a Piston. Becomes your guy, your enforcer, your level of eccentricity to your squad takes a whole other level, right? And what's he going to do on a given night? No idea. And you're winning titles? Yeah, you'll take him. And for my beloved White Sox, the great A.J. Pierzynski. As a member of the Twins, you hated that guy. Hated that guy. Shows up in Chicago, does all the same things. Now he's the equivalent of a WWE heel, and you're celebrating every time he gets on a microphone and every inning he played behind the plate. Same thing here. Carlos Correa, all the other team's fans, like, I hate what they did, right? I mean, Bill Plaschke the other day, you know, scumbag, blah, 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 but...
Yeah, but, oh, he could play for us. Oh, that'd be great. And here's my favorite part of the Carlos Correa chase is that he was linked with the Tigers the past couple of days, but there's like a $300 million price tag that could go along with Correa, which might make the Tigers nervous. And I look at this story and I go, yeah, because they still owe Miguel Cabrera $300 million on his contract. They can't bring both those guys. Are you crazy? That's not working.
That says it all right there.
I can't stand Correa. Oh, but he's going to. Oh, that's great. That's great. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, we'll tell you how the big game in college football is going to shake out tomorrow. Plus, should LeBron be getting bashed for what happened during the Lakers' loss to the Celtics tonight? That's next right here, Fox.